Hello and welcome to another episode of the Make Musings podcast, the podcast where we talk about social issues and raise awareness about other disabilities. But on this special episode, it is February, really, you know, we have to talk about love. So I've got a dating coach who is really a fantastic coach. He's based in Vancouver, Canada. He is doing something fantastic with women, and that's why I thought, okay, we need to talk about love, and I'm sure maybe he has some things to say to men as well. So let's get him on the podcast. Thank you for joining us, Luke.
Welcome. That's so what a great introduction. I'm very happy to be here, Olu.
Brilliant, thank you. And I'm just curious, really, why did you get into this business of coaching? You know, tell us about yourself a bit, just something, I mean, about yourself first, and then tell us, why are you interested in coaching women?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Well, if you look at really the sort of, I call them the symbols in my life, I was raised in a domestic violent house, and I love my mum. My mum's my life, and it was a very hard thing to witness my mum go through such a hard time, and also my sister and I went through a very hard time. And so I look at all the symbols in my life, seeing how many times I saw a woman suppressed and how many times I saw a woman hurt, and I thought, you know what, I'm not really, that's a really fuels me to make sure that I can create households where mum loves dad and dad loves mum, because it makes a huge difference in a kid's life. Because I'm not sure about yourself or your story, but when you go through something like that as a kid, like me, domestic violence was like, I had severe PTSD that I had to end up healing later on in life, which I didn't realize I had. And as I'm going through my life, I'm realizing, shit, there's some emotional reactions that are happening here, and I'm acting a certain way, and I'm reacting to certain things in a certain way that isn't good or healthy. So I had to go through a big healing. And so really trying to prevent kids from having to do healing that and having the love that they need, so they don't have to go through kind of some of the things that I had to go through as an adult.
Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry about your childhood. I had an opposite childhood, but that's
your
why.
Your parents loved each other?
They loved each other, and they died beautiful. Within 1 year of each other because of the same fact that they were so close together. They were together for 48 years. So, I mean, to find relationships like that is so hard. It's so rare these days. And that's why I'm absolutely always like, okay, when you find that perfect person, it would make your life so easy. You know, that person who compliments you. I mean, but when it's not good, when the relationship is messy, it just messes up everything about you, your life, everything, your health, your mental health, your physical health, your financial health. So
exactly.
That's why I thought, okay, we need to talk about relationships and love and how we can move things forward for people.
Yeah, so beautiful. They say the two things that make you the most happiest in life is a good career, like you love what you do and you love who you do life with. Career and relationship, those two things are the most important things for your happiness. And quite often what I see is a lot of people either have good career and not a good relationship, or they've got like a all right relationship or a good relationship and they're like, they haven't really got a good career. But if you get one of those two things right, like get both of them right, happiness is set.
Oh, brilliant. Yes. I mean, that's perfection when you get to perfect relationship. That is, oh God, that is heaven itself.
That should be our goals, right?
People just find it difficult these days to even get a great career or even a great job. So what's the best part of your job these days?
It's seeing the transformation that happens in women's relationships. Specifically, I work with both men and women, helping men become better and helping women get better men. So it's very powerful. I'm looking at both sides of the spectrum. The women don't really have a man's perspective on a lot of things. So they talk to their girlfriends about the problems of men, and then the girlfriends respond, who are just as confused about men, respond in a certain way. So the kind of the beauty of me coming into work with someone one-on-one is, hey, well, this is what I would be thinking as a man. This is what I'm looking at as a man. And they get an kind of an inside perspective, especially because I wasn't the best man too. I was the guy that was causing a lot of problems in women's lives, like growing up as a teenager in my early 20s. And I had to go through a whole journey to become a better man, but I know how they work. And so the most impactful thing is when I see someone not going down the same path and literally have a whole new experience. For instance, I had a client just recently message me, said, she just got back from a date. I've never had anyone treat me like this. He was such a gentleman. The first time in her, she's 38, the first time in her whole life, she's had someone treat her the way that she should be treated, like a gentleman. That to me is the most fulfilling part. So I'm like, of course, because we've changed certain things along the way. So she starts getting different results, and I just love it.
Thank you so much. You said yourself just now that you weren't always the perfect person, but you've learned to become a better man. What does it take to be a better man?
So I call them the goldmine qualities. If any man, if it's like women listening to this and men, but women listening to this, if you see some of these qualities in a man, you know these are like he's got a lot of potential. Okay. So the five goldmine qualities, the first one's self-awareness. I think a man who can be able to see himself, can reflect on himself is a very a man who's able to control his emotions and change if he needs to. The second one is accountability. If you can be accountable for your actions. You got like that there is if he just goes, you know what, I'm sorry. Like, how many times do we want someone just to say sorry instead of trying to defend themselves? So self-awareness, accountability. The next one is drive. Drive. If you've got like a sense of purpose, you're not gonna stress the female out thinking she's gotta provide, or not that a man has to provide, a woman can, but like she's not gonna really surrender into the relationship if she can't trust that you're gonna get out of bed in the morning and get contribute. So that's the third one. The fourth one is an open mind. An open mind is really just not being so opinionated or closed off to the world. You're like, okay, I'm curious. I'll listen to what you have to say. I might be able to see something differently. And that's really good. You're not stuck in your ways. And the last one is communication, just being able to talk about things. Now, men communicate very differently to women, but it's men's job to learn how to communicate better. A lot of times it's like, oh, he just doesn't want to talk about it, or he shuts off, or he ignores me. Same thing is for a lot of women who haven't even had a good relationship, they shut down too, or they don't talk as well. So communication goes on both sides. But a good man, a really, if you're a man out there listening to this, work on those goldmine qualities, work on those things, and your relationship, even your career, everything will be so much more powerful. And you're going to feel like for a woman's going to walk into that and go, I trust him. He's safe.
Thank you so much. Yes, you've talked about so many things now. I think communication is very essential to build a relationship. And sometimes I find that men are just not good at communicating. Or maybe they say one thing, but they are meaning another thing. So why is that really? Why? Why can't they just say what they mean really?
It'd be really case dependent on what's going on there. But I think a lot of men really struggle to be vulnerable because there's one case where they've not really had a space to be able to talk about that and be vulnerable, and they've got to start put on this hard shell. And so it's really hard to get down to the truth of the matter. Some people are really straight, are real straight shooters, but they just don't know how to communicate properly. So they say it too abruptly, right? Because there's those people who are like, you know what, you should got to stop doing. They just don't know how to communicate properly. But I would say if people are saying one thing, but they mean another thing, like there's a lack of integrity there. There's a lack of honesty. And to be honest, it's probably the fact that they're trying to protect an ego that's very wounded. That ego is kind of like the inner child, call it, or a shadow. A shadow is the suppressed stuff parts of them, and they're just trying to protect that from coming because that's very scary if that comes up for them. Their ego has missed out on love. They've missed out on being heard. They've missed out on being seen. And if it looks like it's going to get in trouble, meaning you're not going to get those three things, you're not going to feel love, you're not going to be heard, you're not going to be seen, you're going to be reprimanded, you're going to be in trouble, well, then I'm not going to tell the truth because that truth is going to get me in trouble. And then that's not good for what I really need. You look at every person, man or woman, they need those three things: to be heard, to be loved, to be seen. All their actions are either protecting that or trying to get that. And if you can get in charge of that consciously, get consciously in control of not letting your ego run that or protect you from that, you'll take back a lot of your power, and you'll actually start to see a huge difference in your relationships.
Thank you. That's so amazing. I know. I mean, getting a perfect relationship is the target that most people actually aim for. But what we are finding is that people, women and men are always saying they're looking for Mr. Right. Is there a perfect person out there? I don't think so. Can you make yourself a better person? Yes, you can. Well, in the process of making yourself a better person, like you just explained, you've got to be vulnerable. You've got to make sure that you are actually able to communicate. You're able to do things for yourself, not just depend on the other person to do everything. You're able to express yourself and you have an open mind. An open mind means you welcome criticism. You are open to constructive, not just, I mean, because some criticisms are just like destructive criticism. Some people are just like, okay, they're full of criticism with every action. So you've got to have a way of being able to analyze and evaluate situations and be able to have a conversation about what you want and what is going on between the two of you when you meet. But at the start of a relationship, are there red flags that you could highlight for men and women that they can actually look at when they're just starting and building a relationship?
Yeah, I've got a really good training on this. I created a program called Five Star Man, and Five Star Man looks at one of the most core elements of the start of dating, which is your standards. Most women go into dating without knowing, having a clear picture of what they're looking for. And when they go into something, they go, oh, you know what? Like, this is okay. Even if they find something that doesn't work for them or isn't like what they're looking for, they don't really have a clear picture. So they kind of learn to accept it or settle. Is another word that we might use, settle for something that isn't necessarily what they're wanting, but there are a few good things. That's okay. So when you have your right standards, you're knowing when you're not rushing or you're not settling because you're waiting to see, do these things tick my boxes? Does his guy tick my boxes? Because then though you might see, okay, well, one of my qualities are like he is punctual. Just because you're looking, when you create your standards, you're using qualities. And for anyone listening, I've got a free training on this too, on just creating your standards. If you go to my social media, when you create your standards, you're looking at qualities. These qualities are not conditions. They're qualities of a person that they have. Because your conditions would be, oh, he's educated at Harvard. He's 6 foot tall. He's got blue eyes and he
Those
works in
are
finance.
superficial.
Exactly. And they don't raise your kids nearly as good as an open mind or honest communication will, right? So those qualities are what you're really wanting to be looking for. Of course, you've got to be physically attracted to someone. That goes without saying, but your attraction actually grows more when you start to get aligned with someone with the similarities and you have good compatible conversations. That's when you really start to get in connected to someone. And then the physical is just on top. And there's a lot of scientific research that proves that too. That's starting to show that that's the case. Now, warning signs are going to be different to a lot of people, but in the same training, Five Star Man, I go through all these warning signs, things where they're like, this needs a conversation or you need to walk away, sister. Like, you gotta go. You gotta go. And some of those warning signs can be different, but like some people might say that they might have pretty high standards and say, you know what? He's been flaky. A few times his communications dropped off. He said one thing, but did another thing. That to them is a warning sign. Straight away, you're going to go, well, this guy is he, like, if this guy can't follow through on his basic word, then he's not safe to me. And that's what we're subconsciously looking at that. He could be one of the other things that I see a lot of is he, after the conversation, it's sort of like you get to catch up and then you say, yeah, let's meet up. And then he doesn't kind of organize something. He's just a bit like, does he really want this or is he just more interested in dating other people? And so for those women, standards are really important because you're really telling this, you're really saying to someone, you know what, this person isn't interested. I'm really looking for someone who's interested. That's not good enough for me. Even if you really, really like that person, you've really got to stop yourself. I have to stop a lot of women from going, don't chase. Do not chase. As much as you want to, do not chase. Because they think they put all their eggs in this basket because this is the best that they've ever had. This guy's the best they've ever had, but he's still like not really that interested. He's not really showing up. He's flaky. This person might be the best you've ever had, but he's not the best you're ever going to get. And what needs to happen is you go, you know what? I see that he's not really that interested. My standards say I'm really looking for someone who's willing and ready to be committed to me. Now, that stepping away right there is saying no to less and saying yes to more. But what you're also doing, and this is, it's quite unfair too for women to go into something expecting a man to be fully giving them 100% of their time, like after meeting them just once. You really want to take one of the secret ingredients, Olo, the secret ingredient for a successful help finding a successful, healthy relationship in dating is time. And the hard thing with women is that they don't feel like they've got enough time. And that's because they're biologically wired to find a partner, reproduce, because they've got limited, their fertility is limited. Whereas men don't have this time pressure because we can, our reproductive system is always producing. Reproducing, it's right, it's always creating new sperm cells, but women have limited time on a finite number of eggs. And so I feel like that there's a, like, on evolutionary psychology kind of talks about that, it's like you've got this rushing period. So women naturally tend to rush into relationships, especially if they find a good few signs, and especially if in their late 30s. So
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This person ticks for a couple boxes, but there's not really much of a big difference with waiting 6 months than there is 3 months.
Yeah.
And in that extra 3 months, you can get to know someone really how they are. Like I tell people, go spend time in 10 different spaces with that person.
Exactly. It's
generally after, right? You go 10 different spaces because now you get to see that person at the how he treats the, he might treat the person at the checkout counter at the grocery store when you grab some stuff for a picnic. He might treat them totally different to then how he handles himself at home when it's just you two chilling watching movies, right? So you really go and spend a lot of time in a lot of different places and see who that person is. And you're really trying to find to see if this person's compatible. That there, if you take that one thing, that secret ingredient, time, and take your time, give yourself, mark yourself down in the calendar for 6 months and just say, okay, I'm going to get to know this person for 6 months without saying yes. Generally, after 8 dates, they say there's like a magic kind of period. After 8 quality dates, you know if that person's your person or not.
Thank you. Yes, I know. I mean, you talked about this time thing that women have limited time. And I agree with that to an extent. But also The fact is, like, there's different things that affect the time that you have. It's just sometimes the way a guy constructs a message, the way he reacts to things. I mean, Imagine you are... You meet a guy and on the first day he's saying, oh, we'll come to yours and then we have a cuddle on the sofa. That's me blocking that guy straight away. It might be good. It might have good intentions, but you don't expect me to meet you in my house and you come for a cuddle on my sofa. It's me. Oh, that's what guys really do these days. That's what they think about.
I know, it's crazy.
I get
a couple of messages from my clients, like, because I got a couple of clients dating right now. I get screenshots from some of the messages they send me because I asked for them. And she sent me one of this guy was like, just basically saying, hey, let's come over. Like, do you want to hang out and come over and see what I've got to offer? And I'm like,
what have you got to offer that I can find out outside? I don't mind. I mean, and this is another issue. You go for a date with a guy, the alpha male wants to pay. The 50-50 guy wants to share. I'm all for sharing. I would actually offer to pay for the first date before the guy offers.
Okay.
Because that's the sensible thing to do. He's taking time to meet you at your chosen place. That's okay, what I think. I mean, that's what I would do on the first date. I would choose where I want to meet the guy, where I feel safe. But some people will just go, yes, we're just meeting your place. Or we do. I mean, it's just all shabby these days. And it's annoying when you see things like this happening. And there's a recent thing that happened for one here that the girl went missing after the first date. We don't know what happened. We don't know. So... The guy could be a serial killer. You don't know. It's on a dating app, you've met on a dating app, and then you've arranged to meet somewhere. But wherever you arrange to meet, it has to be an open place. So from your experience, what's the best place to meet a guy for a first date?
Yeah, good question. I just created a full first date survival guide. So I've got an 8-part PDF training with a 60-minute video training. Wow. It's actually really accessible. It's $22. So if any one of your clients,
I would put the link in the
I'll put the link in here. It's honestly talks about this in a great depth too. But the first date is very important because the meeting. I love that you said that you're willing to pay. I think there's so many different opinions on that. But safety is one of the most important things for women. And it's what I see for a lot of women who are putting it one of their number one kind of priority is this location safe and will I be okay? And so you really want to create a space where you're not restricted for a lot of time and you can get out. So meaning you can get out when you can leave if it's not okay. So you don't want to go to a cinema, which you're not really going to talk anyway, but you don't want to go to say a play or a theater or something that's going to say it requires you to be there for 2 to 3 hours. Because what if 1 hour sucks and you got to spend the next 3 hours with this person?
And you're stuck with that person for another hour.
Exactly. And so I say go to somewhere very, very, very time flexible, but then also a very open place. So I think the best first date is a coffee because it's in a public place. If people don't drink coffee, go get tea. You're not under the influence of alcohol. It's just coffee. And then you can go walk in a very public area. And then it's kind of that space where you're if you don't really like it, you go, oh, you know what? I've got to go after this. And, or thank you so much. And then you can, if you're feeling a little bit unsafe, you've got people around you if you need to leave. So that's my the number one tip for all first dates is just somewhere very public and somewhere that's got time flexibility.
Thank you so much. And going from that, building a relationship takes time. So from the first date, if you like the guy, you arrange to meet on another date. What are those things that you would suggest that you
if you like the person and you want to go on a second date? So if the idea of the first date is to know if you like the guy enough to have a second date. So let's assume that you like the person, and this kind of in that first date survival guide, it talks a lot about how to approach the next stage. And the next stage for you, I think the biggest thing that I always tell people is just really feel your excitement. If you're really excited about this person, I know you might want to get on the phone and just send him a huge message or text him pretty soon after you've seen him. And that's okay. And there's not certain people will handle that really well. But if you really want to supercharge the attraction, because attraction grows in space, not in close proximity. Just remember that. Once you've connected, now that you've separated, that attraction in that space is growing. And it's nice for the woman, and I'm a big believer in this, not playing any games, but I'm a big believer in the women who have been chasing for a long period of time to do the right things to come back into being the chooser. Because really, the biology of women, according to evolutionary psychology, is that they are the choosers. They're looking to pass on their genes to the strongest and the fittest, right? If we follow that theory, you should technically be in the choosing situation. So you should be more in I'm kind of old school in that sense. I believe that you should really respect and, of course, but really respect and be very gentle. The chivalrous approach is very important for a man. And so I think it's very nice for the man to respond first. And really what the women are gauging from this is they're not responding straight away. They're really gauging to see how interested the man really is. Now, you don't have to come from the point of, I am woman, you serve me. Although it would be really nice for a man to do that, I'm imagining. You come from the approach of, okay, I'm not going to continue to follow that same pattern of chasing him and telling him I'm interested and I really like him and then he never really likes me back. What I'm going to do is I'm going to build that excitement in my body and I'm going to feel it, but I'm going to keep going on after the date, carrying on with my life. And then I'm going to wait and see after a couple of hours to see if this person messages me. If he doesn't message me in 24 hours, wait to the next day, see if he messages me. If he doesn't, how interested is he? But the next thing is, you can just send, if that's the case and he doesn't respond in 24 hours, you can, and you really want to know, just send him, like, you really want to be cheeky and playful. You don't want to be like, oh, I guess I'm not really that interesting, am I? And you don't want to come across and be really like demanding. You just be playful, be cheeky, and you just send him a nice message and say, oh, I wonder when I'm going to see Mr. So-and-so again. And it's kind of like, oh, when you call a man Mr. something, they instantly go, oh, okay. Something about it just makes them feel special. So what tends to happen, though, if you've felt a nice charge and you don't respond but you feel the excitement, what tends to happen is that guy's going to message you back before that day ends and going to say, hey, I really enjoyed that time. And then when you respond, this is kind of like my philosophy. His job is to initiate the conversation. Your job is to keep the conversation flowing. So then once he responds, say, express how much fun you had, and then ask him another question or ask him something, how his day was. Keep the conversation going. And then don't try and overdo it, but just naturally bring the conversation to a natural end when it does. But make sure that you express how interested you are. Because when the guy's with you, all he wants to know too is this girl into me? But then you don't want to give him all your attention, because what ends up happening is your availability increases your, like, the value. And unfortunately, this is just how it happens. We're all animalistic creatures. Like, the perceived value drops. It's like, well, I can always have you. Because men need to solve puzzles. Men need to solve problems. So you need to become the enigma for them to solve. And if you look at it like that, it's beautiful. It's like magic, and it works every single time. And it's not any games. You're using you're being authentic the whole way through, but you're just stepping back out of that, oh, I need you to pick me energy. And I am the chooser energy. And it's very empowering for women who've never felt that.
Thank you. You've said so many things, and you've actually touched on so many things that I wanted to bring up. Well, you've answered some of the questions. But one thing that I still would like you to address is this issue of chivalry. Are there still men who exhibit that trait out there?
Every day. If women are caught up in this idea that good gentlemen don't exist, being surrounded, and they're still living in the belief that bad men are all they know. I tend to see this like, and trust me, there are lots of bad men. You don't need me to can tell you that. Like, there are lots of shitty, bad men with no integrity,
as well as
with no values.
There are bad women out there as well.
I agree. I completely agree. And this, you know, all that is a lack of love. They weren't heard. They weren't seen. They weren't loved growing up. And it just contributes to these behaviors, these human behaviors. And so I love that you said that. There are a lot of good men. The biggest thing for women who don't believe good men exist is to just really go within and find what tends to happen is they find that they've got a lot of beliefs, that there's stories that they're still telling themselves from the bad men that they've witnessed. They have to break the very first thing is they have to break that story. The stories that you tell yourself become the walls that you live in. And so then when you're living in a house that says good men don't exist, then you're going to see it. So I always encourage women, that's not to say disregarding what they might have gone through, make your past something that doesn't affect you in the present. So
in
if you
future.
Work on that, that's called healing. And then your future will look very different.
Yeah. I think that's what the problem is for a lot of men and women, because there's so many people who have been hurt in the past. And rather than move on, rather than heal and then move on, they move on before they're healed. So whilst they're in a relationship with somebody else, they are transferring the hurt they feel into the next relationship. And that's why I think there's so many broken marriages, and you get married today and in 3 months you have a divorce. That never used to be the situation in the times of our parents. I grew up in a relationship where in a family where my father was, he wasn't so communicative, but my mom, we communicated with our mom, and we were able to still speak with our dad, but it was still like the father figure, you know, you have that father figure thing going on. But these days you have children adults who are still children. I mean, you're dating a man and you feel like you're actually dealing with a kid. You're dealing
because they don't know how to control their emotions.
Yeah, and you're dealing with a woman who is actually exhibiting traits of a child. So These are things that we are actually affecting relationships. But thank you so much for your contributions. And I would like to talk about the last thing, which is like men and women want to feel loved without begging for it. How do we go about doing that?
If you're begging for it, like that's the first problem. The only person that you should be begging for love is from yourself. Most people will look for love in the security of someone else. And then that puts immediate pressure on that person to always give you what you need. People should never be responsible for your happiness. People should never be responsible for you feeling better about yourself. That's a lot of pressure to put on someone else in a relationship. If you want a shitty relationship, do that. If you want a better relationship, be accountable and take responsibility for what you need to feel from yourself. And a big part of the and unfortunately that just sucks. Like it's a hard thing to hear, but that's why self-love is such a big thing at this period of time. Because the way you talk to yourself, is it nice or is it nasty? If it's nice, that's self-love. The way you think about yourself when you see yourself in the mirror, is that nasty or is that nice? If it's nice, that's self-love.
Thank you. Self-love is so important. My dad used to say, you need to take care. You are number one. So once you are okay, then you can only give what you have inside of you. So if you don't love yourself, you cannot give love to any other person. So that's just so amazing.
That's beautiful. Your dad said that?
Yeah.
Wow, what a good dad.
Yeah, he was a great dad, yeah. And so where can listeners find you? And where can we follow you if
best place
wants
social
to connect
media.
With you too?
Yeah, social media. Come and follow me on Instagram. I'm on Instagram and TikTok. Instagram, Luca Reedy. LukaReedy. And follow me on Instagram and TikTok if you need it. If you're interested in my courses, you can have a look at some of my programs. I've got a heap of free content and I'll send you that link so people can get access to that first date survival guide.
Brilliant. Thank you so much and have an amazing rest of your day. It's been wonderful speaking to you. So this podcast will be broadcast on all podcast platforms. Please subscribe and follow us on social media.
A big thank you to all our listeners who have been sending us messages through the message link. I would like to thank everyone who has listened in so far and contributed to this podcast. Thank you so much. We couldn't have done anything without you. Keep listening, keep sharing, keep downloading, and keep liking. Thank you again.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices, save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.